to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
And what I want to start this message out this morning saying is, quit playing games with the devil. As a child of God, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, and I think it's verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil, although he is more subtle, the serpent more subtle than any beast of the field, is not someone that is all-knowing. But I do know this. I'm not going to try to match wits with him. The devil is the bad guy. You say, preacher, you sound like this, like cartoon theology. I'm telling you, the devil does not play by the rules. And he uses every avenue he can to gain control. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's get over there before I go too far. 1 Samuel in chapter 28. Demonic activity is growing. This is the precursor to the tribulation, when the Antichrist will do great spiritual battle on this earth for the souls of men. He works every angle he can. He uses the occult as far as tarot cards and horoscopes and channeling and mediums and seances and the new thing, the Charlie Challenge that's taking place on the internet. And maybe you're not even aware of it as an adult, where they're summoning up demons. You say, Pastor, is that real? Absolutely. Absolutely. And anything, any form or any being that is summoned up, you need to know this, no matter what form it takes on, it is not a child of God that has gone on home to heaven and coming back and now giving you a message. That is a demon. I have Old Testament proof of that. 1 Samuel in chapter 28. 1 Samuel in chapter 28. Don't dabble in Satan's realm. As a child of God, you're not big enough, you're not smart enough to do battle with the devil. You can't match wits with him. You need to run to the Savior. You need to stay as close to God as you possibly can. There's so much here to preach. It's such a big topic. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. I'm not going to get to it all, but let me just start reading here in 1 Samuel and chapter 28. And here's what's happened. Samuel has died. Saul is the king of Israel, the God-ordained, God-chosen king. Saul has drifted from God. Saul no longer follows God through incrementally little steps. He is so far from God. God is raising up David to take his place. But there's a war going on. Look at verse 1 of chapter 28. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, he had complete trust in David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. You're going to be my bodyguard, David. Verse 3 says, now Samuel was dead. The high priest is gone, the spiritual leader in Israel. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards and out of the land. Saul did right in doing this. But here's what I want you to understand. This is all compressed in time, this verse. Saul had destroyed the high places, and he destroyed the wizards and all those that were involved in witchcraft. He followed the commands of God out of the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Leviticus and would not suffer a witch to live because God commanded his people to stay as far away from that stuff as possible because he knew it would do them damage. But Saul, over a period of time, had drifted away from God. Now he had created some of his own, an order of his own priesthood. Now he had recreated God in his own mind. Does that sound familiar? And looking for God's blessing in the battle, in the war. And just like a lot of religionity today where people have recreated God, they've left the Bible and recreated the Lord God, the holy God of heaven, in their own minds and are worshiping something else. By the way, that's just another form of worshiping and giving way to the devil. It says in verse 3, Samuel was dead. All Israel lamented. Verse 4, and the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, which was 7 miles east of Megiddo. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and in his heart greatly trembled. The Philistines at this time and age of man's history had advanced weaponry, more so than the Hebrews. And when Paul saw the Philistines, or rather Saul saw the Philistines and all, arrayed in battle and ready to stage a great war, Saul's heart was afraid. And it says here in verse 6, Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. That was part of the priesthood's, the high priest's outward appearance there, part of his ways he communicated with God. But what I want you to know is God did not answer Saul's prayer, for Saul was far from God. So what does Saul do? He runs to the prince of darkness. You say the king of Israel? Yes. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, a medium, and I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. It was secretive. He knew it was wrong. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, not knowing that this was Saul standing in front of her, for he was disguised, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? He said, this is crazy hypocrisy, and it doesn't ring true. Saul has commanded there'd be no more of that going to demons and channeling demons and bringing up the underworld and having them give us information. You say, well, by the way, where does all that come from? Hang on just a second. Let me read this text, and I want to get to it as clearly as I can. Saul swore to her, verse 10, by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Now, here's what I want you to say. This is not Samuel. I want you to understand. This is not Samuel that appears to the witch of Endor or to Saul. This is a demon that takes on the outward appearance of Samuel. There's a great gulf fixed between those that are born again and those that aren't born again. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You understand that those that have died, those from our number that are born again and they leave this earth, they're not some disembodied spirit wandering the darkness of the underworld or this world in which we live. Those are demons that are there. In Jude and verse 6, we'll come to that. I keep wanting to get to that, but let me finish the thought. All right. What verse are we on? 13? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods, little g, ascending out of the earth. They're demons. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and it's given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Know this morning. The devil is slithering slime. I truthfully believe, and in my mind, I have no problem picturing that after the fall of Satan from the presence of God and the third of the angels that fell with him that became demons, some of them reserved in chains of darkness, to be released at the last day during the tribulation, some of them in chains around the Euphrates River. The Bible in the book of Revelation tells us this. Their commander named Apollyon, or destroyer, who will be released from those spiritual chains at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and some doing the bidding of Satan himself upon this planet right now. And they're the ones that are at work today. Those in chains are chomping at the bit and can't wait to get to mankind. But their time is not yet. Now, because Saul left God, King Saul left God, created his own order of priests, started gathering around himself men that were willing not to follow the word of God and follow the Bible, but do their own thing, then God pulled away from Saul. Saul left God. God took his hand of blessing off of Saul. And that's when the devil moves in. When we vacate, when we give room to the devil, we give room to him when we leave God, and then he moves in. You know, the devil hasn't created anything. The devil doesn't build anything. He takes over things is what he does. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Man, I didn't cover that passage at all like I wanted to. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back to it or not. But 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's a great truism. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, we know the devil's the bad guy. We know the devil doesn't play by the rules. The devil is going to attack from every direction he possibly can and use every avenue he can and wear whatever uniform he has to wear. If he can wear the white hat, he's going to wear the white hat. And that's why we as a people of God, that's why once great churches, through compromise, Ichabod is now written over the door. People are no longer getting saved. The church is no longer thriving. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The gospel is no longer preached. The devil has got his way in that church. That's why the individual Christian who was once a vibrant soul winner and had the joy of God and knew what it was to rejoice and brought with him the presence of the Holy Spirit into every room he entered into, and now that joy is gone, and now they're miserable. It's because the devil will use every avenue he can. Oh, for the days of Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and Hopalong Cassidy. You remember all those old films? The good guys always wore the white hats. Always. The bad guys, you knew who they were by the music that was playing in the background on the piano when they rode into town. You could see the sneer on their face. You know, they never shaved. They were always ill-shaven and dirty. Well, for those kind of days, wouldn't that be wonderful? See the guy in the white hat again, be the hero and save the damsel in distress, and then kiss his horse and ride off into the sunset. Man, that'd just be, those are the good old days. That's not really life. That's not really the way it is. The devil's chief business today is religion, and he's hard at work, and he'll whistle any tune you want to hear if it'll get you away from the truth, if it will get you away from God. I know I told you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I just read some of it. Let's go to Revelation in chapter 12. Revelation in chapter 12. Fasten your seatbelt. I'm going to speed it up even more. Revelation chapter 12, the origin of demons, and demons are growing in activity. We read in chapter 12 in verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child crieth, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The woman is Israel. The child is Jesus Christ. The red dragon, of course, is the devil himself. And with his tail, when he fell from heaven, he drew a third of the angels of heaven. He convinced a third of the created angels of God to follow him and rebel against Jehovah God. That's how subtle he is. That's how masterful he is. That's why the devil has joined the church. and is doing what he can to destroy the church. That's who the Judaizers were in Paul's day. That's who the false prophets were. Jesus referred to them as wolves in sheep's clothing. He's always been all about religion. Even Old Testament Judaism at the time of Jesus had turned into a great big religious machine. That's all it was. It was far from the spirit of the law. Understand there's a great battle being fought today. Ezekiel in chapter 28. Would you turn back there? Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 18. So the devil was once named Lucifer. He was a created angel of God, archangel of God. I believe the highest archangel of God. He was beautiful. He was big in music. Some people believe he was the choir director for all of the angels of heaven. Could very well be. But he was ambitious. And pride was found in him. And he lifted himself up with pride. Isaiah 14, don't turn there. He said, I will be like the Most High. All about religion. All about worship. There are no demons being born today. No new demons. No new demons being created. Say, where'd they come from? That was the third of the angels that fell from heaven. Ezekiel in chapter 28 and verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, that's music, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed, highest ranking cherub at access to the highest level of holiness, standing before God, that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect, that means without blemish, in thy ways from the day that thou wast, there it is again, created, till iniquity was found in thee. I want to say it again. The devil is not deity. Just in case there's someone listening to the radio, or maybe a teenager right now that is kind of dabbling in the satanic arts and the occult, and the devil will have you believe he's the all-powerful one. He is not. He's lost every battle he has ever fought with God. He was cast out of heaven. And at the end of the middle of the tribulation, he has access to the throne of God. He's going to be cast out for the final time. And that's when great anti-Semitism breaks out. And literally hell breaks loose on earth. And he calls forth Apollyon and releases all of the demons that are in chains. God wills it. God allows it. All the demons that are in chains. The devil does not control things. All he can do is arrange things. I started the message out by saying this concerning the devil and his demons. Oh, go to 2 Corinthians while I'm doing this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. I do not, and I would not, and no way, I pray it never happens, will I ever do battle with the devil in the flesh or demons in the flesh. I always want to be under the blood. I always want to go in the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, you sound a little bit fruity, a little bit spooky. Here's what I want you to know. You don't need to look for a boogeyman behind every bush. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In fact, Matthew chapter 16, remember what Jesus said? The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. So it's going to be hell that's on the defensive, not the church. But the devil was once a beautiful being, but he's lost that luster when sin was found in him. Demons, I have no problem picturing them as rat-like creatures with serpents and the gargoyle kind of thing. And I think they're ugly by sin. They've lost what glory they had. And they're minions of Satan. And they do his bidding. And there's rank and order there. I say all that to say this. You need to understand there is a battle for your children. There is a battle for their minds. We talked about that in Sunday school. Their thoughts. That's why the music they watch and the programs they watch and the places they go, that's why it's so important. And that's why it's important for you as well. Because if the devil can get your thoughts, he's got you. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 12 says, but what I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, pretending to be something they're not. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The origin of Satan, God created Lucifer, and Lucifer, filled with pride and sin, did battle against God, and God cast him from his presence. For 6,000 years, the devil and a third part of the fallen angels of heaven, who we call demons, operate in the first, operate in the second and the third heaven. They're doing all they can to destroy mankind today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the devil as a roaring lion seeking, walketh about this earth, seeking whom he may devour. He has access to this planet right now, and he's working. And there's a spiritual battle that is going on. False shepherds, Jesus called them in Matthew and chapter 7. I say this, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, but a Christian can be oppressed, overwhelmed. As a child of God, I don't know that I've ever done battle with Satan directly. I'm convinced I haven't. I'm just one guy. He's just one being. But I have faced demon forces. I believe I've seen people demon-possessed and talked with them. It's chilling, but there's no fear for the child of God. If you are someone who, and there are people in our church, it's happened here, it's happened overseas. There are several people in our church that have had people, had demons take on human form and appear at the foot of their bed on several occasions. It's happened to my family. You say, what's going on? It's a demon. That's all it is. And you get victory over the powers of darkness by obedience and claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. There had to be a prayer meeting several times in one of our bedrooms to be able to overcome that demon. It took several times, but he's gone. Never come back. He looked just like somebody that had recently died. I mean, to the letter. And I had a child that was real afraid. But we are more than conquerors. Not just that person. Others here as well. I'm just saying, this maybe not happen in your family. Maybe it'll never happen. But there's a spiritual battle taking place. And as children of God, we better get on board with God. We better draw close to the Savior. The devil operates today. His objective, of course, is to destroy, to dilute, to deceive. Don't write it down. We don't have time to turn there. Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus tells Peter that Satan desires to sift you out like wheat. 2 Timothy in chapter 3 tells us in the latter days the occult is going to grow. Man, it's happening. You know why we never used to see it in America as much as we do now? It's because America at one time was a great gospel preaching nation. There was a lot of light here. I remember my brother came back from Bolivia in the first term. And he told me some things that had happened there. Man, I thought, wow. Man, the devil was bold down there because Bolivia, especially at that time, was a nation of darkness. Even the religions were religions of ignorance and darkness, and the devil was bold. You say, why is it happening now in America? Because the light is being pushed aside in churches. People are leaving the Word of God. And understand, don't just put it in a box, a little square box of a boogeyman. Don't think that. I'm not saying the devil's going to come and appear, and a demon's going to appear, and he's going to overwhelm people in your house. It may not even happen that way. It might happen by way of music, and the devil gets his worship. It might happen, and you're watching things on TV that you never used to watch. It used to be Andy Griffith, and now it's perversion.
That's right.
And the devil's getting his way. Amen. See, don't put a little demon in a box somewhere. Just get close to God. The objective is to destroy you and your family. And I want to say this, the devil is not your friend, and he's not the friend of your children. He wants to destroy you. Let's look at a couple of verses quickly and I'm done. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy in chapter 18. Old Testament, the law. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. Exodus 22:18, God said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. It says here in Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the land thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. It said, when you come into the promised land, I don't want you to live like the world. Don't try to copy them. Verse 10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That's sacrificing children, and yes, they did that. Or that useth divination, that's magic. Or an observer of the times, those that practice the hidden arts. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, that one that is fascinated with the dead. He said, you don't need to do that. You've got the Lord God of heaven. You need to go because he is the evil one. He is the corrupt one. He is the one that I cast out of heaven. He is the one whose followers, many of them are in chains and some are on the earth. But the fact is, all he wants to do is destroy you and your children. Think of your kids. Think of your grandkids. See their faces in your minds right now. The devil wants them. Give them everything they want. The devil will get them. Be an enabler. The devil will win their heart. Don't be pointing them to the world. Point them to Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so much more. Revelation 21:8 talks about sorcery. Pharmakeia is the Greek word, same word we get the word pharmacy from, the drug culture, and all that goes on there. The outcome is really pretty simple. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. I'm way over time. Revelation in chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for just a little season. I can't preach prophecy right now. I hope you understand that. Verse 10 says, and this is after the 1,000 years, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. The outcome is pretty simple. Corruption loses. Evil loses. The ancient foe of God and man loses. Jesus said, he reminded us, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. As a people of God, let's stay close to the Savior. It's that easy. It's that simple. Last thing we want is the devil to take over some area that we made void because we left God. I can carry that to great extremes and be right as I think of the ministries of the church. If we remove God from an area of our life, the devil moves in. Think of him as just corrupt slime. He moves in and he takes over. Jesus taught us that. He said, a man that has a demon cast out of him, but he doesn't get right with God, that demon comes back again after searching the world, and he brings 7 more demons with him. And his latter end is worse than his beginning. You can't just be empty of God. If you're empty of God, you're susceptible to Satan. You need to surrender to God. Surrender your music to God. Surrender your hobbies to God. Surrender your loves to God. Surrender your whole life to God. No matter what it is. You cannot be the master of your own ship, except you're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to end up on the rocks.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.